What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know what? We are not just going to heaven if we're believers. We are adopted into the royal family of Almighty God. You know, people get excited about, sometimes girls say, it'd be great to marry a prince. You know, I'd like to marry royalty and live in a castle and be a princess and marry a prince. And fairy tales are about that. But you know, really, the Bible says that you have been adopted, if you're a born-again believer, into God's royal family. And you are being trained to actually reign and rule with the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are a prince or a princess if you have believed upon Christ as your Savior. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And then again it says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? And what that's talking about is that angels are going to be the servants of the princes and princesses of God who are right now being trained to reign over the future world. The future world right now is reigned over by dictators and leaders and people that are in great positions of wealth and power. But God is going to remove all of that, and he's training you right now, if you're a believer, to reign over the world with the King, and you are a prince or a princess in training to rule and reign with the King of Kings. And there's also weeping and wailing, but there'll be no weeping and wailing in the kingdom. There's going to be joy. And you're being trained for that. You may think you just have a small job and a small position, but you're a prince and a princess. You are adopted into God's royal family. In other words, you're not just a foster child. You know, a foster child goes from house to house. They're not part of the family. They don't have the inheritance of the family. We are children of God, literally adopted into God's family as his sons. And we are in the royal family that's going to rule in the kingdom to come very shortly. And you're being prepared for that. And God says that is a great degree of love. Not everybody has that kind of love upon their life. That's why you are beloved of God, and you can thank God for his love and know that you're adopted legally as children of God, and you have a wonderful inheritance that you can look forward to. I remember my wife's dad and mom left their children and inheritance. And I remember when my mother-in-law passed away, the different four children were dividing up certain things, and that was a blessing to them. But we have an inheritance that is something that you can take with you. It's something that's lasting, and it's a wonderful thing. And so you're a child of Almighty God by legal adoption. But not only that, you're a child of God by birth. You know, I have certain traits that are part of my nature, and I know I got them from my parents. There are certain things that I know are weaknesses that I got from my parents, and I don't like them. But I see them. But if you are a child of God, that means you're born again by the Holy Spirit and you have the nature of God, so that you are actually somebody that resembles your Father in heaven. And if you resemble your Father in heaven, that means you resemble your elder brother, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that you have his nature within you, and the world should be able to see that you are born again and you have something different. In fact, the Bible says the world can't understand you. Therefore, it says in 1 John 3, verse 1, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. When Jesus Christ came into the world, did the world accept him? Did they bow down to him and say, you're the God in the flesh? No, they called him a child of fornication. They rejected him. They didn't appreciate his values. And if you're a born-again believer, God is your Father, not just by adoption, but by the new birth. And therefore, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, if you're born again, you have the very nature of God, and that's why you like to hang around born-again Christians. I remember when I was born again in high school, there was a girl, she was not very popular, her name was Paula. She was not one of my friends before I was born again. But as soon as I got born again, I started talking to Paula. We had things in common. I began to be her friend. And I remembered that was something very different. I would have not chosen her as a friend before that. And you see, when you're a born-again Christian, you are like God and you are like the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because you have his nature and you have the nature of other born-again Christians. And so that's why you like to hang around born-again Christians, because they understand you and you understand them. But if you don't have the new birth, you're not a child of God. You say, who am I? The Bible says you're a child of the devil, and the will of your father, the devil, you're going to do it, because he's disobedient. He's disobedient to the word of God. You're not going to love God. You're not going to love his word. I remember when I was born again, my brother, my youngest brother, he was in the youth group at church. I went away to Bible college to study for the ministry, and I came home for vacation. And my brother said, hey, I have to give a devotional at church. I've been chosen to give it. And it's from Romans chapter 12. That's what our Sunday school class is about next week, by the way. And he said to me, would you explain this to me so I can give it to the youth group? And I said, well, certainly. And I went into Romans chapter 12 and I began to explain it to him. And I thought, boy, he understands it now, and he's gonna teach it to the youth group. Well, you see, he wasn't even saved. He wasn't born again. He said to me later on, he went to a camp in Michigan with his cousin, and they heard the word of God, and he realized, I'm a sinner. I don't know God in a personal way. I'm going to die and go to hell, and Christ is the one offering me a gift of salvation. And he believed upon Christ, and he was born again that summer. And he said, though, when you talked to me and gave me that teaching, I was not born again. And he said, it made no sense to me. It was foolishness to me. I couldn't understand a word you were saying. And you know what? That is true of us. If you are a born-again child of God, don't expect the world to understand you. Don't expect the world to appreciate your values. Don't expect the world to appreciate you getting involved in bus ministry, you getting involved in Sunday school, you getting involved in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Don't expect the world to value your decisions to go to a Bible college or to make decisions to serve God. And don't even try to please the world. You only need to please one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And so stop trying to be accepted and praised by the world. The natural man is not going to understand you, not going to recognize you. And eventually, the Bible even says the world is going to persecute believers worldwide and hate them and put them to death. But what does it say in 1 John 3, verse 2? It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You see, right now, if you're a born-again Christian, you are a son of God. God loves you. God puts his blessing upon your life. We went to Florida. I got to spend some time with one of my grandsons, and I took him out to play golf, and we played golf, and he had such a great time. He's only just a little guy, but he was playing golf. He was loving it. He did good. I took my other grandson out deep sea fishing, paid for the boat, and went out there with him and took him out deep sea fishing, and had a special love for my grandsons and wanted to do something nice for them. The Bible says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, right now you are a son of God. You're legally his. You are personally his by the new birth, and you have his nature. And God has he has a special love for you, and you are different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world, they don't know him as being in his family. And you say, well, I don't see any different. We look just like the world. And that's true. When Jesus, who is God's virgin-born son and his eternal son, when he became a Jewish man, he looked like a Jewish man. He wasn't particularly good looking. I remember when I went to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana, the leader of pastor school was very famous, and he was well known, and he came out, and everybody saw him. But he said, when I came out, you probably thought I was the janitor. I looked like the janitor. I looked like everybody else. And you know what? We are children of God if you're born again. But physically, you don't look any different than anybody else. You will one day. God is going to let what you are come out, and it's going to be seen by everybody in the world. They'll recognize that after we go through the hard time of the great tribulation. That's going to happen. But right now, you look like everybody else, and Jesus just looked like an ordinary man. But he took his three disciples, and he said, here, Peter, James, and John, you come with me on top of a high mountain. And then before their very eyes, the glory of who he really was shined from within and came out through his clothing, and his clothing shined. Brother Zukowski told me my shoes are shining, and he said, what's the secret of your shoes shining? And I told him. I'm not going to tell you. I just told him. But they're shining. And somebody says, your face is shining. And I said, it's the same stuff I put on my shoes. I put on my face. But Jesus, you see, Jesus was shining because the glory of God, who he really was allowed to shine right from the inside out. And there is coming a day when that is going to happen to you. Your sonship, who you are, is going to come out. And that's when we're going to be recognized for who we are. But right now, that sonship is veiled by your human body. You see, your body is not yet glorified. It's not saved. But it will come out. So I want to say, number one, behold the blessings of your sonship. Behold the blessing, first of all, by its identification, that you are adopted into God's royal family and that you are born again and you have the nature of God. Even though people can't see it, it's on the inside. You have that by identification. Secondly, behold this blessing of sonship by its invasion. Not only identification, but its invasion. It's going to invade this world, the reality of who you are. Look what it says. I'll look at verse 2, the last part. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, Jesus Christ is now invisible to the world. He's in the third heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But he's waiting, listen to me, for the day when he's going to invade this world. He's going to invade this world, and it's not going to be a secret rapture. It's going to be a public appearance. It will shine in the sky. It's called the revelation. That is the uncovering. That is the burlesque. That is when he unveils and takes off the covering. And everybody in the world can see Jesus Christ. And it could happen in your lifetime. We are getting ready for it to happen. I've got people. I've had a guy that used to be a member of our church. He's in a different state now. He's saying to me, I heard Dr. Kent Hovind say that we may be in the great tribulation right now. And I agree with Dr. Kent Hovind. There will be a generation of people that will go into the great tribulation and be delivered out from it when the Lord invades this place by his second coming. But we're not there yet. But we're not there yet, but there are prophecies that right now have been waiting for thousands of years, a couple thousand years, and they're now being fulfilled. That war in Iran right now, do you know that's in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39? I've preached on it for 17 years. And that war right now, the missile launchers that have been destroyed are called there the Bow of Elam. And those missile launchers, as we speak, have been degraded at least 90%. 90%. That is a partial fulfillment of that prophecy. It's amazing fulfillment, partial fulfillment. These things that are happening are prophesied, and God says that they are going to happen. And it says that these people over there in Iran are going to be dismayed before their enemies, and this regime over there is going to be replaced. Some people say, don't replace the regime. God said it will be replaced. God says that boots will go on the ground over there, and there will be an invasion, whether by the United States or Israel. There'll be an invasion, and that there'll be a new regime put in there for a time that God will be involved in it, and it will be called the throne of God there in this place now where such evil has happened. And this is only the beginning. There's going to be another great Middle East war, prophesied in Psalm 83, prophesied in Isaiah 17, when Damascus is destroyed as a nation, when Amman, Jordan is destroyed in Jeremiah 49, 1 and 2. That's going to follow right on the heels of this war. We're not in the Great Tribulation yet. But these things will happen, and they could happen at any time. And that will take place according to Psalm 83. And when that war is complete, Israel will be one of the most rich and prosperous nations on the earth. And hopefully the United States will be with them, and there will be a blessing there with that nation on the earth. And then the Bible says that Israel, instead of trusting God, will, well, let me put it this way. They won't be able to trust the United States for whatever reason at that time, but Russia and the former Soviet Union states and Turkey and all these nations, they are going to invade Israel. The United States at that time will not be able to help Israel. And so what will happen? God Almighty himself will deliver Israel. God Almighty himself will deliver Israel and will bring judgment upon Russia. And after all of that happens and God blesses Israel, they're going to turn to the nations of the world and the beast. And they're going to put their trust in man, and they're going to go along with that. And that will begin the beginning of the last 7 years of history that we're not in yet. We're not in that great tribulation yet, but it's coming. Heather, you want to take her? Just take her out.
Thank you. That's going to be an invasion in history. I've been watching that for many, many years, and I've been preaching on these wars that are now happening in the Middle East, and people are asking me about them for 17 years, and you are now living in the days when these things are being fulfilled, but we're not in the last 7 years yet. How do I know? Because I study Bible prophecy, but we're getting closer to this invasion when the Lord is going to come back. And I want you to notice the blessing of this invasion to you. Not only the identification of yourself as a son of God, but look at the blessing of the invasion. It says there in verse number 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God," right now, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. When we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If he should come back in your lifetime and you're a son of God, everybody around you will know it, because your body will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be like his glorious body. It will shine. People will see the light. It'll be so bright. And then the angels of God, and then the dead in Christ will rise from the dead first, and then your body will be changed, and God will, the Lord Jesus will be in the clouds, and he'll send his angels to pick you up, and right before everybody, they will gather you to meet the Lord in the air. This could happen in your lifetime. You're supposed to be watching for it. I'm talking about an invasion of this planet by the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This planet is on a collision for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before he comes back, it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to get tougher and tougher after these good times that I've been talking about. This great tribulation will come. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to come. And then when it gets really dark, the Lord is going to invade and rescue us out of this world. And then he's going to pour out his wrath. Have you ever seen somebody, they don't seem to get angry? They're just the nicest temperament. There was a guy in our church years ago. His name was Dave, and he had a brother. And this brother told me, he said, "My brother Dave is the nicest guy. You can't get him angry. You do things to him and do things to him, and he doesn't get angry." But he said, "I found out something about Dave. He's slow to anger, but he builds up, and he builds up, and he builds up. And when he gets angry, he blows." Do you know what? God is building his wrath, and he's getting ready to pour it out on this world. And the Bible says, after he rescues his sons and daughters at the rapture, then he's going to pour out judgments by fire, sounding trumpets of angels. Seven angels will sound their trumpets, and God will devastate this world with fiery judgments. After this, he's going to pour out his final wrath, called seven bowl judgments or vials of wrath. And at that time, after the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to put boots on the ground. You know what? When we have Iran defeated, there are going to have to be boots on the ground. Somebody's going to have to occupy. And the Bible says in Revelation 10, 1 through 3, "And I saw another mighty angel," speaking of Jesus, "come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice, as when a," and it says, "a lion roareth." That's interesting. "A lion roareth." He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, Israel, when it attacked Iran, ours was called Epic Fury, the United States, but Israel was called Operation Rising Lion. He says, "As when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." You see, Jesus is going to not only rescue us out of the world before the wrath of God, but at the end of the wrath of God, during the final 30 days of the wrath of God, at the end of the 7 years, Jesus is going to touch down on the ground. He's going to take his people out of hiding, the Jewish people. He's going to bring them up to Jerusalem. They're all going to accept him as their Messiah. He's going to set up his kingdom over the earth and judge the world and kick anybody out of this world that's not part of his people. You see, God is saying that, number one, we need to behold the blessing of being a son of God by identification that we are the born-again ones. And secondly, by the blessing of an invasion that the Lord is going to rescue us out of the world before he judges this world. And then we're going to rule and reign with him over this world. Are you looking forward to that? If you're not, then check it out. Are you a born-again child of God? Because the third blessing of your sonship is the blessing of incentification. Somebody said, Pastor, is that a word? Well, I know to incentivize means that you're motivated to do something. You're incentivized to do something. So I want you to behold the blessing by its incentification. And I want you to look with me at verse 3 of 1 John 3. It says, "And every man that hath this hope in him," Jesus Christ, "purifieth himself even as he is pure." You know, I went down to Florida and it was summertime while I was down there. And I'm coming back here and it is like getting close to springtime. So I'm kind of stepping back. But you know what? I like this time of year because there's an anticipation of spring, isn't there? You can feel it in the air. You can feel that the robins are going to come. You can feel that the buds are going to come. When we were traveling north in the Carolinas, the buds are already coming on the trees. But when we get up here very soon, the buds are going to come on the trees. Then the trees are going to blossom, and it's going to be a beautiful springtime. Every year this happens, and it's the anticipation of the spring. And that incentivizes you, you see, to get ready for spring, to get ready for gardening and so forth and so on. And it's a blessed time. And the Bible says here that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. In other words, if you're excited about Jesus Christ coming back and you anticipate Jesus Christ coming back, that is an incentive to you to purify your life. You see, a bride, when she's getting married, she likes to get a white wedding gown to wear. I asked Matthew, "Does your bride have a wedding gown?" And you said, "Yes." She's already got her white wedding gown. And that is a motivation to her to be faithful to Matthew and to be ready for the marriage. Matthew told me, he said he got something on his cell phone from somebody that was a girl, and he said he deleted it immediately because he said, "I have my bride and I am set on my bride. I don't need that girl getting in the way here." And you know what? You're going to have things on your cell phone. You're going to have things on the TV. And you're going to have to get rid of them. And you're going to have to turn away from them because you got something better. I tell people, if I got offered a Volkswagen, why should I want a Volkswagen when I got a Cadillac in my garage? I'm just telling you, you've got something that is wonderful that's coming, and that incentivizes you. The incentivization to purify yourself and to get ready, because your body is going to be perfect when Jesus comes back, and you won't be able to sin and you won't be able to get involved with the world. And so now is the time to purify your body and say no to the temptations of the world. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes back. We want to be prepared when he comes back. I talk to people that have cheated on their spouses and they're ashamed and they feel bad, and it's so bad. It's so nice to know that Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he already has identified you as a child of his through your faith in him. And secondly, he is getting ready for an invasion to rescue you out of this world. And he wants you to have an incentivification, to be incentivized, to get ready for him by being faithful to him every day of your life, because you're going to have the wedding in heaven right after he raptures you out of this world. There's going to be a wedding ceremony in heaven, and he wants you to be getting ready for that. Are you doing that? Today, he wants us to be getting ready for that. But if you're not a child of God, if you're not born again, when he comes back, you're going to be left behind. You're going to go through the wrath of God. If you've heard the gospel, you won't be able to get saved. It will be too late for you. And you will be hardened. And you will go through hell on earth and then hell itself forever and ever. And so thank God that you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ if you're saved. May you be identified clearly as a child of God in the way you live. May you be getting ready for the invasion of the Lord upon this planet. And may you be incentivized not to try to please the world around you. They'll never understand you. But you simply do what God wants you to do. Sometimes people will try to get me to go and do something that I don't believe God wants me to do, and I'll just have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because I'm listening for one voice. I'm seeking to please one person, the Lord Jesus. May you do that also. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. This morning, we've been talking about, behold the blessings of your sonship. What love you have to be a child of God. I wonder if you say, preacher, I know that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I know I'm a born-again child of God, that I'm adopted into his family, that I have his nature. I know I have a new nature. I know I have a new future that I didn't have before I was saved. I know that I'm saved. I'm assured that I'm a born-again Christian, Pastor. I'd like to have you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my testimony. I'm saved. I'm born again. Would you raise your hand if you can say that from your heart? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may put it down. I appreciate some of you weren't going to lie and be dishonest. And you don't know that you're a child of God. You don't know that you're going to heaven. You don't know that you've ever been born again. And perhaps today you know that you're really not saved, that you're really not on your way to heaven, that you're a sinner, and that you're going to face God's judgment one day and be cast into the lake of fire. But you know what? You're here today because God wants to give you an opportunity to be saved. You can become a child of God. You say, how do I become a child of God? It says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you'll put your faith in Jesus as the one who died and rose again to save you, you'll be saved. And you'll be a child of God in the family of God. And what a blessing it'll be for you to know that you're going to heaven. If you couldn't raise your hand before, but you say, Pastor, before I leave this service, I'd like to know that I'm a child of God. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand? Just hold it up. I'll see it. All right. There's a young person right there. Just a young guy right there. Probably about 4 years old. 4 years old. 6 years old. Okay. He says he wants to know he's a child of God. Anybody else? You couldn't raise your hand before you, but just say, Pastor, I want to be part of that invasion. All right, I see an adult raise their hand, and I appreciate that hand. You may put it down. It's a lady or a guy, and raise their hand. I'm a child. I'd like to be a child of God. I'd like to know that I'm saved by Jesus Christ, a young person and an older person. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I want to know that I know for sure that I'm in the family of God and that I'm going to heaven. Now listen to me. If you raised your hand, God says that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven if you'll receive Jesus Christ. You say, how do I receive him? It's not by taking a wafer. It's not by getting baptized. It's by faith saying, Lord, I believe that you died and rose again to save us. And I put my faith in you to save me from my sin. And you tell Jesus that. And the Bible says that if you receive him by faith, that you'll be a child of God forever. And you'll be part of all of the family of God and the blessings of God. Would you do that right now? If you raised your hand, just those that raised their hand, would you look at me for a moment? Just look up at me. Would you just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm putting my faith and my trust in you to be my Savior. Now, if you've been saved, God wants you to get baptized after you're saved. God wants you to put on the uniform, and that's by getting baptized and coming forward and saying, I am trusting God. I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior. He wants you to do that. If you're here today and you are a child of God, and you know that you're going to heaven, have you been living for him? Have you been seeking to please him? If not, don't be ashamed. Get ready. Be ready. Let your coming invasion incentivize you to purify your life and get things out of your life